Let's have a discussion.
Hello, this is Mark.
Hi, Mark.
My experience with the reptilian energy or the dark energy is that it's a very subtle energy at times. It's not something that comes directly at you that you can recognize, but it is very subtle, like a cancer invading the body. Am I on track there?
Yes, you are.
Okay, we'll leave it at that.
Would anybody else like to comment on that as to their experience with it?
Well, I like what Mark said.
Hello?
Just because. Oh, go ahead, please.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is Pauline, and I've noticed that it is very subtle, that dark energy, and I don't recognize it until I'm in it. But then it's really easy for me to get out of it. All I do is go into my meditations, or I'm in my pink diamond, or I'm in the crucible, and I work with my sacred heart. They're all the tools that we've been given, and that dark energy goes away. Last night, I was awakened several times by something that had happened to me earlier this month, and it's something that just keeps, it was coming into my mind, woke me up around 2:30, and it wouldn't leave me alone. And it was just thoughts about what had transpired, something that transpired between myself and another person. And I started to dwell on it, and I realized that's not what I wanted to do. And I got up, and I came down, and I did my meditation. And I worked with the pink diamond. And that's all it takes. It vanishes. It goes away. But we do, everything you said so far, we do have to be so aware and so conscious of what's going on, because that darkness can take us over so easily if we let it. And just to remember that there's ways out of it, too. But thank you very much. I'm really appreciating this now, because it comes at a good time for me. Thank you.
Thank you. That was great.
This is Mark again. I think, yes, that's some of what I'm talking about, is that it comes in various ways, and I can also see it infecting other people, and they don't appreciate that that's what's going on. And the media and that type of thing also has this very subtle energy that sometimes has the appearance of being very genuine, but it is not genuine when you really get right down to it.
You're right.
Yeah. This is Beth. This is Beth. I'm with you all on this one, because I think we see this darkness is coming out very much in the world today. I don't care what it is. And we do have to be extremely discerning about that. And if the trigger makes us feel compassion, then it's an authentic, you know, reaction we have. But if it creates a situation where we're blaming, or we feel that somebody's blaming us and all of that, then obviously that kind of a darkness is creeping in. On the other hand, I see that it has to come out, and we have to learn how to handle it ourselves, for ourselves and for those around us. But I think it is a significant a problem that we're having today, and it is very reptilian. And what's fascinating to me is that the new dragon energy that we're, maybe it's not new, but to us, we haven't been so aware of it. The new dragon energy is gives us all kinds of hope and excitement and enthusiasm for doing, you know, creative things. So we have, you know, tools to help us.
I think that, Beth, thank you for those comments. I think that the important thing here to realize is through all this, we have been so so given so much in the last several years of our teaching that we are no longer powerless in the face of any of these energies. Yeah, sometimes they can slip in without us really noticing, but the minute we notice, we're empowered to take steps to create it different. We're not a victim any longer. We're very empowered. So I think that's one of the things that we have to take away from this gathering today, that we are really very empowered.
Hi, this is Katie.
Hi.
In my life, the way I found I'm most vulnerable is when I operate at the third or fourth dimensional level of love or social love. I've had many experiences dealing with the dark side. It's been part of the work I've done for quite a while, and yet I still will forget to look at the whole picture or look at the whole person. I think I've confused unconditional love with acceptance of anything, and I sometimes forget to see what's really there. And that doesn't mean to judge at all, but to be aware, both in myself and in other people I'm looking at. I keep getting reminders of that and keep going back to the Sacred Heart and learning more and more how to deal with that level of love.
Hi, this is Jana. So I'm looking at this and Mark's comments and others agreeing on the subtlety level that we're addressing here of that dark matter, whatever we'd like to call it, form or whatever. And I just want to, I don't know if Metatron will just speak in for a moment that if I understood Katumi correctly, that these so-called dark forces operate only in the third dimensional density, and that if we're not vibrating our own energetic reality above third dimension, that it's not even a subject for discussion. Is that accurate?
This is Metatron. Yes, to a degree. Now, we are not only talking about the third dimensional frequency, but we're talking about also the fourth dimension, which is the transitionary dimensional frequency, that where there is both aspects. You have choice. In the
right.
fourth dimension, you have choice. Now, there may be this negative influence operating, but once you are able, here again, to hold that fifth-dimensional frequency of light at the higher range, where you are now capable of operating in that fifth, sixth, seventh-dimensional frequency, you hold in your body, in your consciousness, in your thoughts, in your feelings, a much different, refined level of light energy. And it's within that light energy that this reptilian influence or force is repelled by the light. And if they would allow, they are transformed by that light shining forth at that frequency range.
Right.
So that said, when you fall below that for any reason, it makes you have a vulnerability to that influence at some level. However, you are at a st- faith in your transformation, that you cannot play that victim role. It is through choice, a choice that you made, a creative choice that you made, that caused that frequency to dissipate. So here again, you're in the process of building that stability. But sometimes you're just not there on a given moment. But you do have the tools to reassert yourself.
So it really is, thank you. So it really is just a matter of a match of vibration and energetic vibration. Is it not that this sort of rising?
Because at the very core of your soul, spirit, you are created in that light, and you are light. It's through your choices that are made, your creative choices, that dissipates, that it wavers.
Mm-hmm.
So there is a responsibility. You can't say, well, it's not my fault. That you are not unconscious any longer. Now, here again, it doesn't help you to blame yourself either. So just use your tools and move on.
Yeah.
And next time you'll make a different choice.
So it's really about, if we're holding a big picture, a vaster, broader perspective in our everyday moments, the fact that we're, and Katie mentioned looking at the whole person, or I'm seeing it in the same way, if we're holding that fifth dimensional love and unity perspective in our day-to-day moments, then that's a stabilizing force unto itself, is it not? That anchors us.
Correct.
And then it builds on that.
In that state, may I say this, in that state, you are not judging, as she said, not judging. You are seeing them in light. However, you are also seeing their frailty, where they missed the mark. And you are wise enough to not let that influence you. Do you see? This is important for you to recognize. Because you are at a state of your evolvement where that third eye is open. And you can see these things if you look, if you pay attention. You are a force in yourself to be reckoned with when it comes to these lower energies. But at the end of the day, it is what do you choose.
Yes, of course. So are we also, as well as addressing our own individual choice points, are we also simultaneously addressing that aspect of ourselves in the collective of humanity?
Yes, you are, without judgment.
Yes, without
only
judgment.
In the element of love.
Yes, and that's for that. Yes.
That's the difference in how you move on. You change it and you move on, and you don't dwell on it.
No.
That doesn't help you, but you do recognize where that frailty is.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
At first, it will seem like a balancing act here.
But we're nourishing and cultivating our own neutrality at the same time, so it's
correct.
It's amplifying it and enforcing it. Okay, thank you.
Those were very good points to have brought up.
Yes, thanks.
Continue this conversation.
Hi, this is Randy. We're talking about the reptilian energies, and I'm aware that there's also a reptilian physical presence Does anybody want to comment on that aspect of it? I don't know if anybody's had any encounters or issues in that regard.
This is Katie again. Yes, Randy, I have had several encounters with a physical representation in bodies of this energy. And one I would like to pass on to the group is that twice I was approached by what some would call the men in black, or actually they seemed to me to be more zombies. They came to the door of my hotel room across from the Ground Zero in Manhattan. And I was at a Matrix Energetics conference. I was in a very high energy state. I had absolutely no fear. It just did not exist in me, and these beings could not cross my threshold. They tried two nights in a row. They could not cross my threshold, and so they just went away. So when we are in our light body, when we are in our fifth dimensional consciousness, they cannot get to us.
Okay. Thanks for sharing that.
You bet.
Hello. This is Charmaine. I found this whole discussion about the dragons and the reptilians really interesting, because even though the reptilians are really clever and subtle and experts in deception, there's kind of a limited range that they operated in as far as strategy, and because they're not multidimensional. And so they tend to repeat the same strategies over and over, although with different background settings. And one strategy they seem to use, and I'm thinking they may have used this with the dragons, is they take something that has a very positive, benevolent purpose, and they invert it, or they reverse it, and then they implant the symbolism that's reversed in the human consciousness. So the belief system then says, oh, dragons are evil, dragons are reptilian, whatever. And because of that belief system, then the human that cuts off the human's access to that extremely benevolent energy that the dragons can offer. And it was just interesting to kind of watch that strategy, like looking at the kind of planetary history, that how that strategy was kind of inserted in the human consciousness to keep us from seeing the dragons as they really are, because the belief system kind of put up a blocking over the third eye. I don't know if I'm making any sense or not.
Perfect. Right on, Charmaine.
Yeah, Charmaine, and this is Katie, and I just want to really thank you for this comment.
I had one encounter with a reptilian. It was kind of more on the astral plane, and I immediately called an Archangel Michael to get it out of there. But it's, you know, I don't deal with the dark energies, but I kind of track how they use their power so as to see where the vulnerabilities are. It's, you know, something I do. And I've noticed them using that particular strategy over and over again in different formats. And when we first encountered the dragons, you know, being human, I had also had some of those belief systems implanted in me. And I asked, okay, what are the dragons? And the answer I got was, well, you know, the dragons have been an energy that was here before the creation of the earth, that they cooperated and they assisted and they guided the elementals largely in the first creation of the planet. and that they are galactic and beyond galactic. They're in the Andromeda galaxy. They're in galaxies we don't have names for. And that, you know, that's such a huge energy, whereas the reptilians are, you know, a third, fourth dimensional species that really can't access more than at most the lower fifth dimension, but usually are operating in the fourth dimensional, which they are not the dragon energy at all. That all that other stuff was an implant from the reptilians to block us accessing the dragons. And that's all.
Oh, thank you. That's great.
Thank you, Charmaine. Hi, it's Kathleen. Is there time for one more comment?
Oh, sure.
Yes. Okay. I wanted to share something that was kind of an aha this week that is more sort of, you know, the spiritual principle of as within, so without, or that law of attraction. And I was really looking deeply at some of my judgments or patterns as a woman in this culture and how I could get reactive and blaming of men just in a polarized way, which immediately would lower my vibration, right, and open me up to all kinds of things before I started getting more conscious of this. But what came to me last week, and I'm sharing this because I do believe this is sort of an example of how the reptilians can get in, is what I discovered was that there were lifetimes in my soul's experience that I needed to clear in order to raise my vibration so as not to attract any of that. So if we are really working at all the levels that we may not even know about in our soul's history, and we really set the intention, I want to be completely purified and freed of any karmic darkness that I may have fallen into. I think what I've seen in my work with my clients and probably in my own evolution is right after the fall, the reptilians had a kind of a feeding frenzy. They pulled people really right into the darkness because people were so distressed. So as we heal that in ourselves, we don't even draw that to us because we're just, you know, so completely in the light and in fifth dimension. But so my example was that I actually saw a lifetime where I was not a quote, good man. I was inappropriately, you know, mean to women, you know, and you know, whatever I would call sexist or whatever. And what a shock, you know. I think of myself as so above that in this lifetime. But to clear that in my space, I no longer draw that energy to me. It's because it's healed. I don't know if that makes sense, but I wanted
makes
to just...
perfect sense. And so it's, many people are in denial about that, oh, I could have never done that. I'm
exactly.
Here to tell you, we have all played both sides of the fence.
Exactly. Thank you, Metatron, because I feel it took a lot of courage for me because I've always played this sort of righteous, you know, I went to a women's college, we burned our bras, blah, blah, blah. I've always been this, like, you know, righteous kind of woman, and it's like, woof, that had to go. Because as long as I hold that in my space, I'm going to draw imbalance. I had to love the masculine within me. And as I do that, I come more into my own balance, and I don't draw. Because oftentimes in my life, the reptilian has come in through manipulative energy or inappropriate sexuality with, you know, and those kinds of things with men. And so I'm not drawing that anymore. I just know I'm done.
Right.
And then another note, I have experienced reptilian energy in clients, and usually the red flag for me is where they're, you know, I find that they're trying to sell me on how good they are or how they're, you know, there's a kind of, it's like a snake oil salesman kind of. You just get a vibe. It's like this person is selling and manipulating, not authentic. And sometimes they're still working for good causes, quote unquote. They can be very much out in front in the, you know, different political places doing good work for the world. But that's been my experience, that they can, it's a kind of trying to intimidate or control or power over. And so I've had to really just name it and set very firm boundaries and call in Michael, call in the protection of the crystals. One last thing I'll add, too, is that what I've also found with using the Anchi crystals is that putting some Anchis outside, like on my deck, is very protective and brings in the dragon energy of protection. So I, when I'm sleeping, I put out either my pendant or some of the pouches, and that actually just calls in that really high vibration. So I don't worry at night. I feel very protected. So I hope that was helpful.
Well, thank you very much.
Hello, this is Sharika. I want to thank you for this information and discussion. I might have missed it at the beginning, but I would like if anyone can explain to me the difference between the influence of the reptilians and the influence of the sons of Beals or the Illuminatis, what sometimes we hear about. I would like to know if it's just the darkness or if there is a difference. Thank you. Maybe Kutumi can explain that, please.
Hi, this is Kelly.
Hi, Kelly.
Hi. Sharka, I don't have an exact answer for your question, but I've been thinking about sharing what I'm starting to experience in the last few weeks in my life, and the way I experience my spirituality is through my work. That's how I work through it. And in my project, which many of you are familiar with, Life with Crypto, the heart space that I am attempting to bring into the financial world is the work that we're doing. And this is a huge undertaking. And recently, I am getting the attention of other businesses with even bigger visions than mine, but with a very similar or identical goal of bringing light into the financial world, which we all interact with every day. And I have noticed very recently in the last few days after some intense meetings that my energy has been not as clear as I have been in the past about what it is I am here to do. I'm very clear that I'm here to do this work of helping to heal the money system. And I do believe the financial system is fully inundated with the cabal energy, with the drag, or not, the reptilian energy, whatever you guys want to call it. It seems very clearly there. And I'm now realizing that if I'm going to be able to stay clear on my path, I have got to do a better job of discerning when that energy is present and when it isn't. And this is not an easy task. I'd be able to identify my own fear that needs to be cleared because I'm stepping into being a much bigger being by allowing my true soul spirit to come through, and it's getting attention, and I'm struggling with getting the attention, and then I've got to be careful of getting the right attention. So I very much appreciate this conversation, and I'm not sure where I was going with my sharing, but I felt drawn to at least say it. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Anybody else like to make a comment on that? Is Sharka's question?
Yes, this is Mark. I would comment, if I may.
Sure.
Relative to the Illuminati, okay? I've had a long history of being in the financial world and have had a lot of experience with major corporations. That was before I became aware of Mastering Alchemy and, of course, the work here. And I've had firsthand contact with a number of these people that I now recognize are deeply invested in their self-consciousness, their own self-worth, and that type of thing, and are totally ignorant of the higher frequencies, the higher dimensions. Mm. And yes, the Illuminati is very real. It exists. I can say firsthand that I've seen it and experienced it. And yes, it is strictly, in my estimation, it is individuals who have embraced the dark energy. So that would be my comment.
Anyone else?
Hi, this is Katie again. Sorry if I'm talking too much. I've done work with Stephen Greer, who is one of the worldwide forces leading to letting the truth out about the alien presence. And he, when he started this, he did not know about the Illuminati. And so he was trying to work with people in the government and was horribly shocked when he found out there was such an incredible Illuminati experience there, very discouraged. But what he has ended up doing is operating from a higher level of light and love. And he teaches everyone in the world, whether Illuminati or non-Illuminati, an interesting polarity to make here, about the truth. And because of his work, he has found about 80% of the Illuminati would love to get out of that. It's like a mafia. And they cannot get out of it because it would not be safe for their families. But he has got about 80% of them ready to make the shift. And we can continue the same kind of work, whether we don't have to decide if someone is, and it's not all or nothing. You're not zero or 100%. There's little, you know, there's every range of dark energy. There's still dark energy probably in every one of us. We're not fully transformed. So that's not the issue. But the point is, even those that are trapped in the dark, many, but not all of them, are ready to shift. And so if we just continue our work and our light and our love, it will make a huge difference that way.
Thank you.
Oh, I like that. That's great.
I really feel like that energy, that reptilian energy, has many subtle aspects to it, and it's woven into anything that smacks of separation, fear. It's within everything. It's within the Illuminati force. It's in our financial institutes. It's in our governments. Yeah, it is always self-serving, world dominance. It's in our media, and we have to be so discerning about that. A lot of this stuff that is on the internet, it's in the newspaper, it's on Facebook, is all designed to create fear and separation so that we don't know what to believe or that we don't have a clear direction. And through our gatherings, our teachings, we have the ability to see through those things. So it's just not one thing. It's not this boogeyman just ready to come out of the darkness and grab you. It's interwoven. Like Milena said, right now there's a big replay of the final days of Atlantis. You can see it everywhere. All you got to do is look, and it's not to be afraid of it, but it's just to be who you are and make the best choices you possibly can and not be influenced, just discerning what the truth is. Milena, do you have anything to comment on that?
A couple of things in regard to some of the questions I do. First off, don't forget that this negative energy, be it reptilian or otherwise, is very subtle. And from personal experience, I will tell you that it can at times show up on your doorstep in the guise of the light. then it can't hold it for a long period of time, and you will eventually be able to see through it. But it can take you off guard. I'll just briefly give you a personal experience. And this person showed up in my life a number of years ago, and this is a beautiful, bright, shiny being, just full of love and light. But they kind of rushed into my life in such a way, it took me back. And I thought, whoa, this just something's not quite right here. But, you know, what could be wrong with love and light, right? And so we developed a friendship, a deep friendship. And then just subtle little things started happening. There would be a little sign, a little zinger here, or a sign of a little passive aggression there. And I would think, surely not. I just misread that. Not this person. But over a period of the next several years, it happened with more frequency. And I loved this person dearly. And it came to the point where I had to walk away from the relationship because we had a situation that came up, and it did not sit well with me, so I backed off. And this person came to my house to talk to me about it. And this person turned into a reptilian right in front of my face. I was beyond shocked. I did not know what to do with that energy. And so I closed the door on that relationship. A few years later, she became very ill, and I passed cross, and I still love this person, and so at the end, I did try to be with her and help her, and what I learned was she was deeply influenced by the reptilian energy, and I went with her to Honolulu to the hospital. First surgery. And this being, that this nasty being that would present itself from her, was there. And as she was laying in the bed very sick, I had a direct conversation with that dark energy. And it's something that she had called in that had been with her since the days of Atlantis. And it has been called in as a protective mechanism for her. Mm-hmm. And through the course of being up all night with this being and talking to it, I want you to know that this being transformed into this beautiful vision of light. But it had been so overlaid with so much negative energy through all of her incarnations, it only knew how to respond to protect her in a very negative way. And the reason I'm sharing this story is it's not always, as I said earlier, it's not always overt. You know, it comes in forms through other people that we care about. We're at a stage, all of us in this group, I don't think too often we can take on a direct attack. But they can come in and affect us through people that we care about and people that we love. And I'm sure some of you can see that in some of your own relationships and how that can distract you and throw you off course. So, yes, as long as we hold our frequency, I think we are above that direct attack. But they do try to find a way to get into what affects you most. And sometimes that's through your family, what you do, and different things. And all these things are just words of caution, things to be aware of. And you know, and I love what Cryon says, bugs are always attracted to the light. So whenever I'm feeling the heaviness of the energy, I try to remember those words of Cryon because I find it quite humorous and it lightens my mood. But, you know, our work is our work, and we stay focused on that and what we're doing. And we're naturally going to be on the radar of people who don't want us to do what we're doing. But this group, as a group, is dynamic. It is powerful. And I believe every one of you, every one of us, including Joan and John, agreed long, long, long ago that we would gather together. And we would do our absolute best to help this planet to ascend, to help ourselves to ascend. And so for me personally, even though I'm well aware of all of these other things in existence, my focus is what it is we do, what we're about, why we do what we do, and to the best of my ability, try to remain in my own integrity with that, and know in my heart of hearts that I agreed to do this, as all of you agreed to do this. And we have ample amounts of protection, and I'm sure Metatron will tell us that again when he closes out. We're amply protected, but we still just have to be aware that there are things outside of ourselves, and the dark is very clever, so they can at times present themselves as light. They can't sustain it. So there again, that goes back to your own discernment and trusting your gut feelings.
Thank you, Milena. John, you want to say anything before we light Metatron?
Yeah, to me, this whole conversation was terrific. But what I personally am taking away from it is that I'm sure it's not a big if, but if you really don't like this reptilian, energy and what that presents, that helps me, motivates me to continue my ascension process, so that when I'm up in that level of the fifth dimension, I don't have to worry about it anymore, because I realize they can't operate there. And so instead of worrying about that as a negative, I take it as a positive and as a reinforcement for me to continue my journey.
Thanks. Yeah, I think that's a really good fact from my perspective also, in that we can't be on high alert about these things. We have to be aware, but focus on the task at hand, holding that light frequency as refined as you possibly can, and then you are not bothered. It's not in your reality any longer. From time to time it surfaces, but in a way that you're not really triggered or emotionally involved in it. You just see it for what it is, and then you make a choice to go in another direction or send light or whatever, but you're not affected by it.
Just a distraction.
Yeah, it is a distraction. Mm-hmm. So with that, everybody, I just want to thank you all for joining us. I loved our conversation. I loved the contribution that everybody made. So give me a moment, and we'll call on Metatron.